This is the Lunch Bunch with Andrew Hawthorne and Company on VOCM. For the next half hour, we will peek behind the big stories we are all talking about today. The views and opinions expressed on this program are not necessarily those of this station. Now, your host of the Lunch Bunch, Andrew Hawthorne.
Good afternoon. If it is indeed afternoon, it is dark as pitch out there, at least in St. John's right now. So luckily, we have the fire inside keeping us alight right now. I hope you're having a nice day in a nice, dry, warm place. My guest today, this is a pretty important topic. It's the 30th anniversary of the Montreal Massacre, 30 years ago, tomorrow. And there will be vigils across the country. There will be vigils here in St. John's and across our province. But despite the fact that three decades have passed, these issues are still very present and still very pertinent for a lot of different reasons. For that reason, my guest today is the Executive Director of the St. John's Status of Women's Council and Women's Center, Laura Winter. Welcome to the show, Laura.
Thank you for having me, and thank you for making space to talk about the important issue of violence against women.
It is. It's a continuing important issue. And, you know, just in the lead up to this, I went back and I looked at some of the historical stuff from 89 and the stuff about what happened in Montreal. And I was struck at how present it was that it could have been yesterday. That when you talk about like the stuff that the killer was saying and why he wanted to do this and why he was targeting women specifically, if this had happened yesterday, we would have called him an incel, you know. Mm-hmm. But it didn't happen yesterday. It was 30 years ago, but we're still having the same conversation. So what's the feeling of the St. John's Status Women's Council every year this time? Like, what are the discussions like?
I think the feeling is exactly what you're saying, that this is still such an important issue in society. We work with women every single day who experience gender-based violence through intimate partner violence, domestic violence, and we know that this is a pervasive issue in our society. Our rates of intimate partner violence in this province are higher than the national average. There is so much work to do. So much work has been done, but there is so much work left to do, and I think that's the feeling we get every year. We want to really link this issue to a societal issue. We want to talk about gender-based violence in general, and we want to obviously honor the women that died in the Montreal Massacre, the 14 women, but we also want to say we have a list in this province of murdered and missing women that is now numbered at 144. We have had 10 times the Montreal Massacre within this province.
It's pretty scary. It's startling numbers. And, you know, even in my time, I've only been here at VOCM 6 years, and there's been some incredibly high profile incidents of femicide, as is popularized today. And even that as a word is fascinating. People talk about it online. We have the Canadian Femicide Observatory keeping track of these things. But even the word homicide, hom means man. Mm-hmm. You know, even the word is gendered in how we think about murder, how we think about crime, and so altering it in that way highlights something about our society. Like you say, it's a societal issue that we haven't quite gotten to the core of yet, I think.
It very much is. And again, when we look at the numbers, 1 in 2 women in this province will experience sexual or physical violence in her lifetime. To me, that's an epidemic. To me, this is one of the most important issues facing our government, facing all of us in this province. And we always want to say, we frame this as violence against women, but this is not a women's issue. This is a everybody issue. We all need to come together to look at solutions and to work together to make the changes that are necessary in society and our culture to actually solve this problem.
And there's a lot of facets to this issue that we're going to talk about. But first, we're going to take a quick break. When we get back, we're talking about the 30th anniversary of the Montreal Massacre and all that's come after that here on the VOCM Lunch Bunch. Stay tuned, folks.
This is the Lunch Bunch on VOCM. Now back to Andrew Hawthorne and the Lunch Bunch on VOCM.
We're back. I'm speaking with Laura Winter from the St. John's Status of Women's Council and Women's Center. Tomorrow is the 30th anniversary of the massacre at École Polytechnique in Montreal. And we're talking about things that have changed, things that have stayed the same. Laura, what do you think this anniversary is really about?
The government, Canada's parliament declared December 6th the National Day of Remembrance and Action on Violence Against Women, following the murder of 14 female engineering students at École Polytechnique in Montreal in 1989. So 2019 marks the 30th anniversary of this massacre. The day, I think, though, it is about honoring the lives of the 14 women lost, but much more than that, it's about talking about the issue of gender-based violence, of violence against women. And I think for us at the Women's Center, it's so important to draw the parallels between what happened on that day and all of the violence that women face, especially domestic violence, intimate partner violence, which again are at epidemic levels in this province. Recently, I had someone tell me that the violence that happened at École Polytechnique was different than the violence that women face day to day, because those women, those engineering students, were murdered just because they're women. And I would argue that all women who experience gender-based violence experience it just because they're women. Just like there's nothing that the women at École Polytechnique did to invite or deserve that violence, there's never anything any woman can ever do to invite or deserve violence in her life. And I think we know well that domestic violence and intimate partner violence is very much about power and control. And I think that's something that's becoming understood in our society. But so too is the mass murder of women at École Polytechnique. So we want to move away from thinking about gender-based violence in the context of that day as the act of just one bad man.
Sure.
And really think about violence as a societal and a structural issue. It's about power and control. And while abusers are responsible for their behavior, the underlying devaluation of women in society, the underlying sexism in our systems, the underlying, you know, patriarchal culture, they all contribute to violence against women, which is why it's a societal issue.
Yeah, and even at the time, during the massacre, he said he was attacking feminism in doing this. You know, almost from its inception, this event was not just localized to what happened in Montreal, though obviously we should remember those victims. Mm-hmm. It was always a political issue, and it was always a gendered issue, talking about a male versus female or being threatened by women. And, you know, one of the things, one of my friends was posting about it, a lot of my friends are posting about it today, and just putting it in perspective how much times have changed to a degree. One of my friends who is a woman said when she was a child and heard about the massacre, the main thing she remembers about it was, these were all engineering students. It was the first time she'd ever realized a woman could be an engineer, hearing about these murders. And that was the world we lived in then. And it feels like the conversation has changed. We're aware of some more facets of it because, there are this situation is similar, but changes depending on if we're talking about Indigenous people or if we're talking about trans women. It's a very different thing. But so have we learned anything in the last 30 years, do you think?
I hope we have. But unfortunately, we're still in a situation where about every 6 days right now in Canada, a woman is killed by her intimate partner. And as you noted, I think the change we're seeing in the conversation is that it's getting intersectional. We're starting to think about which women are experiencing violence at higher rates. So the rates of violence are so much higher for women who are marginalized by race, by gender, by the type of work they engage in, by their mental health status. So we know right now that Indigenous women in Canada are 12 times more likely to be murdered or missing than non-Indigenous women. That is staggering. We know that lesbian and bisexual women are 3 to 4 times more likely than heterosexual women to report experiencing intimate partner violence. We know that transgender people are almost twice as likely, more likely to report experiencing violence, and women living with physical and cognitive impairments experience violence 2 to 3 times more than women living without impairments. And these stats are coming from Women's Shelters Canada, and there's all kinds of women's groups, of course, across the country that keep these stats. When we look at that, that's huge. When we need to look at women's experiences, how they're marginalized, and how that marginalization and how our systems, the racism within our system, how the sexism within our system actually leads to more violence.
What is it about our system that is so predatory towards, at-risk groups, whether or not that's women being devalued in a certain way, whether or not, you mentioned people with cognitive impairments or people from minorities or people who are racialized. These are people who are not, you know, the empowered group within a society. Mm-hmm. But what do you think it is about the way we've set up our country that, and any country really, this isn't a unique thing to Canada or Newfoundland, that is so predatory on people?
Well, we live in a patriarchal society, which means essentially our systems were, and our laws and all the pieces of our society were designed by men. And the problem is when we don't have the voices of Indigenous women at the table in designing systems, when we don't have the voices of trans women at the table in designing what our supports look like, how our laws and regulations look, then we get laws and regulations that can be harmful. And a really great example of that, or actually a horrific example of that in Canada, is women who are engaged in sex work. So sex workers experience violence at much higher rates than non-sex working women. And that violence, in a big part, is due to the laws and regulations, as well as, of course, the huge amount of stigma they face. But our laws and regulations which prevent them from using safety strategies while working or put them in danger. We had serial murders happen in Vancouver where one man killed, they believe, over 25 women engaged in the sex industry. And when they stepped back and looked at that, there was a huge amount of police inattention to those murders when they were happening. There was laws in Canada at the time, and still laws in Canada, that put women in the sex industry in danger by pushing them into more isolated, dangerous parts of the city, preventing them from using their safety strategies. So when we look at that, we can think about how the structure of society, how the structure of the laws, how the stigma against sex workers by police, by other people in community, created those issues and created a situation where violence could happen against them and go unchecked for so very long.
Why do you think we hold December 6th as different from those other events? You know, obviously, respective to the victims in Montreal, you know, it was a horrific event and still is. 30 years later, we still remember it, and rightfully so. But why don't we talk as much about those other events? 25 women in Vancouver.
For the same reason, I think, why there was police and attention. It's about the valuing of women's lives. And unfortunately, in our society, certain women get more value than others. And obviously, we need to honor and remember the lives of the 14 women we lost, but they were university students. They were women who probably the general public thinks of that they were going to contribute to society in a particular way, that their lives had a certain amount of worth based on their social economic status, based on their status as university students. And when we think about women engaged in sex work, due to the stigma, due to the misunderstanding of women who are engaged in that industry, we see that their lives aren't assigned the same value by some members in society. Not the case at the Women's Center. We're here to say all women, all people in society have equal value. And it's so important for us to step back and think, yes, why? What are we looking at when we look at these days? What are the conversations about? And how can we broaden the conversation again to include, so importantly, Indigenous women who are experiencing so much higher rates of violence right now?
We're going to take a quick break. When we get back on VOCM Lunch Bunch, I'm speaking with Laura Winter from the St. John Stanis of Women's Council on the 30th anniversary, or at least 30 years minus one day, of the Montreal Massacre. Stay tuned.
It's your town, and Linda Swain has it covered. On Target St. John's, coming up today at 1, right after the Lunch Bunch, here on VOCM. Now back to Andrew Hawthorne and the Lunch Bunch on VOCM.
Welcome back. I'm speaking with Laura Winter, the Executive Director of the St. John's Stanis Women's Council, on the 30th anniversary of the Montreal Massacre. We've been talking about the kind of stuff in our society, or in any society, I suppose, that leads towards things like violence against women. So let us lighten the mood and engage in some utopianism. So we have a society that's got some issues that we're trying to work out. Yes, some fatal issues we're trying to work out. What does that society look like if we do listen to people who are being victimized, if we do listen to trans people and see how it isn't working for them, if we do listen to Indigenous people and engage with them on a nation-to-nation basis, what does our society look like then?
I think what you're talking about really is equality at the end of the day, and the revaluing of people, and in recognizing the importance of listening to the voices of lived experience. I think if we're talking about solution-oriented, like where do we go from here type thing, first and foremost, listen to women's voices and listen to a diversity of those voices. White, straight women who are middle class do not speak for all women, obviously. And we need to make the most space for marginalized women and their voices, because they're the ones who are experiencing the most violence. So they need to be centered in this conversation. We at the St. John Status of Women Council, as well as the First Light Friendship Center and other women's centers across the province, are calling for more action by government. We're calling for a task force or an all-party committee around violence against women. We really respect the work of the Minister's Committee on Violence, but this problem requires an interdepartmental, cross-party response. Look at what's happened in our province around mental health. There's been a fabulous action taken by our government that's interdepartmental, that includes community. Their Way Forward initiative is making real changes within the mental health care system. And most importantly, I think there has been a centering of voices of lived experience in that discussion. We need that kind of huge action here just to start to move this issue forward. We also need more funding for women's organizations who are doing this work day in, day out with women who've experienced violence. And I want to talk about the work of the Women's Center. I get to come out and be the face and the voice of the organization.
And thank you for doing that.
Yeah, thank you. But it's our wonderful team who are the ones who do the work directly with women and who really are the heart of that organization and everything that happens there. So we, you know, they bring forward the voices of lived experience and expertise of women who are experiencing violence. And then I get the fabulous role of taking those pieces forward to try to lobby government and try to inform change. And I want to say, if any woman's listening who is experiencing violence in any form, we want you to know there's a safe space for you at the Women's Center where you get to decide what your support looks like and where we'll work hard to meet your needs on your terms. We know it can be really dangerous for women living in violent situations to access supports, and we work with this every day. We have mechanisms in place to, again, work with women where they're at and figure out what works for them.
The reporting mechanism that was recently brought into place with the police, by which you can anonymously report this stuff but decide whether or not the case proceeds. Are you receiving any positive feedback about that program?
We haven't received feedback from women yet. And I mean, we are always heartened when there's shifts made like that. And then I think what's important, there's been a legislative change right now. What we need is to look at how that becomes enacted, what happens after the fact. And again, you're exactly right to listen to women and hear what the impact is going to be on their lives. And we want women to know when they come to the Women's Center, again, it's a safe space. We do a huge amount of work around anti-violence, and that includes work around groups for women who've experienced violence called Empowering Ourselves. We do a Helping Mothers Thrive group. We do walk-in counseling right here, right now, which is just come in through the door on a Tuesday or a Wednesday, and you are seen whenever we can. So it's just a walk-in service. You're seen within the hour. You define what issue you want to talk about. And we also do a huge amount of individual support and advocacy. So I think really, if there's any woman listening who's experiencing violence, we just want to highlight that we are here for you. There's a whole range of services that you may not know about. And again, they're services on your terms, because it's important when women are experiencing violence that they get to call the shots here and what services look like for them.
So, you know, say I have a genie here, and it's going to give you one thing. You know, we've talked about this from a societal perspective, what needs to change for the Newfoundland and Labrador community, even for the St. John's community. I have a genie, you'll have to trust me on that, that will give you the one thing, like, that we can change. What is the one thing that we need to be focused on now that's immediately going to impact this issue here?
I think that we need a bigger response by our government. I think we need a huge action plan around this that includes community, that includes the voices of lived experience, that works across the province. And I think that needs to be led by Indigenous women. I think that we need, because they are the ones experiencing the most violence
in this province. At 12 times the rate, you said?
12 times the rate. And that stat is around women who are Indigenous are 12 times more likely to be murdered or missing in Canada than women who are non-Indigenous. And that is something our country should be ashamed of. And I think it's the, you know, biggest concern around how do we move forward as a country. That's a big piece for us to look at and try to figure out how to resolve. And again, it starts by centering Indigenous communities and Indigenous women in that conversation. they, I think, have lots of ideas around solutions around this, but also not downloading the work to them. They should be the ones that are naming where the work goes, but not the ones who are responsible for fixing this problem. It is all of our responsibility.
Directing it, but not necessarily executing it.
Exactly. And I think that, you know, in our province, when I'm talking about a broad scale response here, this needs to be interdepartmental. This is not just a women's issue. This is also a public health issue. This is also a policing issue. This is also a criminal justice issue. And again, speaking of criminal justice, when you look at the overrepresentation of Indigenous women in the criminal justice system, just another indicator of how the system fails them. So this is really across the board. Also, we need better education within our school systems for our young people around respect, what that looks like. How to be good people should be part of the education you get in school systems. And I'm not certain that that's happening in a effective way right now. The women's centers are here, they're across the province, and they're available as resources in helping to, you know, do that work. So I think we want to be seen as resources within our own communities.
Going back to Ecole Polytechnic, there are vigils being held tomorrow here locally. What is going on here in the St. John's community?
There are indeed. So the sexual harassment office at MUN every year works very, very, very hard to organize a vigil at MUN. So at 6 o'clock tomorrow at the engineering building, there is a December 6th vigil, again, and that is honoring the National Day of Remembrance and Action on Violence Against Women. This year, being the 30th anniversary, they've integrated a special part where they've invited the Women's Center and Status of Women in, so we're going to be doing a purple tree lighting as part of that vigil in partnership with Debbie Hibbs and Connie Pike, and the tree lighting will happen during the vigil, and on that tree, the names of the 144 women who have been murdered in this province will be there. And that tree is actually going to be left as an installation at the engineering building at MUN throughout the month of December as a display of advocacy and of education, so that everyone walking through that space can read about the issue of gender-based violence in this province and also honor the lives of the women that we've lost.
Laura Winter, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you for having this important conversation.
It is an important conversation. It will continue. Remember, tomorrow is the 30th anniversary of the Montreal Massacre. I hope you can find some time to reflect on that or attend one of the vigils. I know I will. Until then, that has been your Lunch Bunch for today, this Thursday. Please stay tuned for On Target St. John's with Linda Swain. It looks like Linda has the Podco folks in over there, so I imagine they're going to be speaking about some Newfoundland politics. And boy, howdy, has there been some Newfoundland politics over the last couple of days. You're going to really enjoy that. Until tomorrow at 12:30, please stay tuned to VOCM and VOCM Lunch Bunch. My name is Andrew Hawthorne. I hope you have a really nice Thursday.